Praise God. Turn in your scriptures. I never intended these last several services to end up in the book of Hebrews, but that's just where we've gone. So if you would, turn in Hebrews chapter 6 tonight. I can tell already this is one of those messages that as you hear it, you'll say, this isn't really for me, but I can think of somebody it's for. I'm going to buy the CD and give it to them. And it may be that way tonight, but I do pray that the Lord would speak to us from His Word this evening. Well, hallelujah. Anybody glad to be in church serving the Lord? Amen. I counted 6. Oh, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thank you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? I want to forewarn you before I read that the first 3 verses are verses that many folks have many questions about. In fact, there can even be frightening verses, and I'm really not going to get into any of that tonight. It's not the purpose of this message, and I read those for context for the last verse I'll read, and that's where our message will be. But you'll notice as we read these first 3 verses that there's a lot of questions, a lot of fear sometimes from these verses, and we'll deal with those another time. But look what he says in Hebrews 6, chapter 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I said I wouldn't get into this, but I do want to note that some folks have this erroneous view that once you've been saved, you can never lose your salvation. But notice as I read these verses, these sure sound like saved folks to me. They've been enlightened. They've tasted of the heavenly gift. They were partakers of the Holy Ghost. They've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Verse 6, if they shall fall away. It's impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. So notice before we change verses, verse 6, there's a group of people who fall away. And this writer of Hebrews is writing about those. He's noting this. He says, I know them, you know them. There are folks who have tasted this thing. That doesn't mean they've sampled it. It means they've experienced it. They've experienced this thing, and they have fallen away. You know them, I know them, the writer says. Verse 9, but, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. In other words, instead of you falling away, we're persuaded of better things. You don't have to fall away. You don't have to fall away like those you know of. I'm persuaded there's better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Amen. Kind of nod your head at me. Do you know of folks that have fallen away? Yes. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. I want to preach tonight on expect better of you. Expect better of you. Persuaded better things of you. Would you stretch forth the hand this way and pray for me tonight and with me? Father, we want to hear from your word. Lord, these are your people. We're gathered together in your presence. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Speak deeply to our hearts, Lord, tonight. Encourage your people. Strengthen your people. Lord, and if there's one tonight, Lord, God, reach out and get a hold of them. Lord, draw them close to you again, close to your heart. Lord, draw us all close. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from us, but restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. And then we'll be able to teach others in this way. In Jesus' name, and God's people said amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm going to tell a story about myself tonight that I don't think I've even ever told my wife. It's not something I'm proud of. In mid-high, I was in 10th grade. I was in an advanced math trigonometry class. And you can see it either as a blessing or a curse, but I was able to goof off and still get the material. And I remember in that class, I can still remember giving that teacher a hard time. I was always talking, pestering, being a smart aleck, annoying everybody in a 20-foot radius around my desk. And I was right in the middle of it one day, and there was a girl sitting in front of me. And all of a sudden, she whirled around and she said, "Clifford, it's a shame you're such a jerk." She said, "You have potential and you could do so much more and be so much more than the way you're acting." I felt the heat as my face turned red. You know, the thing about it is she was right. I was acting like a jerk. She was right. I wasn't acting as I should, and it was keeping me from being what I should be and could be. You know what? That girl did me a favor. I've never forgot that. I couldn't get away from that. I'm embarrassed about it to this day. 50 years. Hold on here. I just told you I was in advanced math there. Let's see, I was 15 and... Well, 40 years later. The writer of the book of Hebrews was writing to a group of people. Writing to them, saying, as I said, as I read the text, "You know," he said, "and I know of those that have fallen away. They've went back. They've quit." But he said, "I'm writing because it doesn't have to be that way with you. It does not. They have fallen away," verse 6. But the writer says, "I have a confidence in you that you don't have to fall back. You don't have to quit. You are capable of going on to better things." Verse 9, "I'm persuaded better things of you." You know, those that had already fallen, I think this writer would have said the same thing to them before they fell had he had written at that time. Before they had fallen, he would have said to those individuals, "I am persuaded better things of you." I've had the experience in the last week, first of all, there's some that mean a lot to me as a pastor. And I've observed their lives, and you can just see the slipping. You can see the losing of a passion. You can see the lack of spiritual activity in their hearts. I was told by someone of a younger person involved in sin, and I didn't know about it. And the person came to me and said, "Pastor, you know, I just think you need to know this about this individual." And as they told me what they were involving themselves in, I felt such a great, great disappointment, because I've always held this young person so highly. I mean, I've marveled how they've made a stand for God in a bad environment of home and school, and how they've worshiped God and just gone all out for God. And now to hear about their falling away, it was just such a disappointment and a hurt. And I think at that moment I felt a little bit like this writer was feeling. My heart was heavy. And you see somebody evidently sliding backwards and turning back, and you want to get a hold of them and say, "Wait a minute, this doesn't have to happen. You don't have to be like this. Why are you doing this? I am persuaded better things of you. better things than sliding back and falling. And I want to cry out to them, this is not who you are. Stop. Don't you see what Satan's trying to do? He's trying to ruin you. He's trying to ruin your opportunities. He's trying to ruin your potential. I mean, don't you see this isn't the best you're capable of? This isn't what God has in mind for you. I mean, don't you see if you slide back, fall back, you'll never be what God has in mind and has a plan for you to be. And I want to cry out, don't do this. I'm persuaded. I expect better things of you. You may say, now, wait a minute, Pastor Hurst. Who are you to judge? I want to tell you something this world needs to get a hold of. To observe some things is not to judge them. You know, here you are in track. And you used to run this race, and I wouldn't get the right race at the right time, so let me just make some things up. You used to run this race in 4 minutes. And now for the last several times you've ran, it's been 5 minutes. For me to say, you're not running like you used to run, that is not a judgment, that is an observation. Maybe you're in track and you jump, and you used to jump 20 feet. Now when you jump the last several meets and the last several jumps, you've jumped 15 feet. It's not a judgment to say you're not jumping as far as you used to jump. That is an observation. And we're not here certainly to judge folks, but our hearts are heavy when some folks don't worship like they used to worship. Used to immediately when we began to sing, the song rolled out of their heart and they sang to the Lord. And now they stand or sit and they never open their lips in singing. Used to you would see them in an altar weeping and crying and seeking God and calling out to Him. And now they hardly come to an altar. Amen. You've seen how they used to lift their hands and worship and feel and experience the Holy Spirit. And that's a rare sight. It's not judging to say I'm concerned. It's not judging to say what's going on here. And I don't know. Maybe it's just hard times and this and that. But it's not a judgment to say, wait a minute. Amen. Don't you see what Satan's trying to do in your life? That's not a judgmental thing. It's a concern to say, wait a minute. It doesn't have to be like this. I care too much for you. It hurts too much. And it especially hurts because it doesn't have to be this way. I'm persuaded better things of you. Amen. You see, the part of that concern is you've seen it happen to so many other folks. Amen. That's what this writer said. We've already seen this happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen others fall. They tasted the Holy Ghost. They knew the Word of God. They had an experience. And we've already seen it happen to others. And that's why we say to you, it doesn't have to happen. Stop. Wait. I expect better things of you. I picked it up on the radio in the middle of the story. I have no idea if it was just sand or snow or what. I just right in the middle of the story, but the lady was telling a story how they were out somewhere up on a steep road of curves and an incline, and all of a sudden the cars there got in trouble. And many cars started slipping over the ravine down to the bottom and crashing, and people were being hurt and maybe even killed. And she said there was a lady in front of her, and I forget what all she did, but at first from her car she honked trying to stop that lady. And then she whipped up to the car and knocked on the window and said, ma'am, you've got to back up. You've got to quit what you're doing. You got to back up. The lady started backing up a little bit and then got angry and took off in the wrong direction. And the lady outside was frantically motioning to her and hollering, no, no, you got to stop, you got to stop. The lady in the car was angry and upset that somebody was interfering with her. But what she didn't know, she was backing up in the wrong direction right towards that ravine. And the lady outside the car said, I kept trying to get her attention. And finally she stopped and her back wheel, one of the back wheels was already hanging off over the ravine. And she said the lady inside was still upset. upset with me and being demonstrative against me, so upset. And finally, others came up and they talked to that lady, and this is part of the story. She said some big old guys from Oklahoma ran up and got a hold of that car. Amen. Trust Oklahomans when you get in trouble. Here comes the Okies. Amen. She said they got up there, and finally they got her to understand that she had almost went over that ravine. And she said, "Lady, don't you realize the several cars have already went over and crashed, and all I was trying to do is save you from that happening to you." And that's what this writer is saying. There's been others that have already slipped down that slope. They've went over the edge. They've went into the ravine. And all I'm trying to get you to understand is it doesn't have to happen to you. Instead of something bad happening, there's better things for you. Better things for you. I'm persuaded of them. When this writer says that, and when I say it, you know, you can take exception to that if you're in that position, and you can be upset. But do you know, listen to what that really says. I'm going to say it one more time, and I want you to listen what is behind that. I am persuaded better things of you. Listen to what's behind that. First of all, that's saying to you, you are thought highly of. I'm persuaded of better things of you. I see the potential. I see the good. I see who you are in your life. Amen. You're thought highly of. The writer did not say this because he thought little of them. He said this because he thought much of them. Amen. Sometimes a teacher or a parent has said to someone, "I had greater hopes for you than this. I expected more out of you." You can take that negatively and condemnatory or however you want, but listen to what they're really saying. "I have great hopes for you." That means they think highly of you. They see within you that potential. Amen. You see, he looked at them. He saw what a great salvation they experienced, how they had turned to Christ, how they had served Christ, how they had received from Christ. They had a changed life. They had a changed way of looking things. He said, "I expected more of you." Amen. Not because I think little, but because I think highly. You know, that's why it's so disappointing of some who do slip and who do fall away. Amen. That comes after you think so highly of them. Amen. And that's the hurt. I mean, I've seen some. I mean, I had so much appreciation for the way they live for God. Amen. And to say to them, "Oh, you don't have to go that route. You can do better. You can serve God. You can live for Him all out." I'm not saying I think little of you. I'm saying I think much of you. Amen. You know today, and I know this is maybe an odd sermon and all that, but you know, so much of the preaching, and I even looked through podcasts and stuff today, but so much of the preaching, amen, is a kind of preaching today like there's nothing expected out of us as God's people. You know, we just receive all the blessings and we receive all the benefits, and there's nothing about sanctification or little about sanctification, living for God and dedication and consecration. It's almost absent from preaching today. Let me ask you something. Amen. Do preachers today expect so little out of believers because they think so little of them? Do they expect so little because they think so little? You know, if I have students and I have a lot of faith in their ability, I expect a lot out of them. And so whether it's God, whether it's a Bible writer or a preacher, if they're expecting a lot out of God's people, it's because they think highly of God's people. Well, that's a new way of looking at it, but it's true. Amen. Look at the work of grace. Amen. Look what God has done in your life and done through your life. Amen. And I want you to know, hey, tonight, church, this pastor thinks highly of you. I've seen your dedication when others turned away. I've seen your faithfulness. when other people are interested in everything but church. I've seen you make a stand for God when so many others just went with the tide and the current of the age. I've seen you resist being pressured into the mold of this world. I've seen you stand up to Satan. I've seen you go through all kinds of crises and difficulties and trials and keep your faith in God and not become bitter, but look up and raise your hands to heaven. This pastor thinks highly of you, and it's wonderful. But I tell you, even in saying that, oh, by faith in my God, I am persuaded of even better things of you as the people of God. To say that, secondly, means you have been so much. You have been so much. Amen. I'm persuaded of better things. There's a contrast here. When you see somebody slipping, there's a contrast between what they have been to what they are becoming, where they have been in God, to how they're slipping back. You have been so much. I've seen young people who my heart is heavy for tonight. I've seen them lost in the spirit in the altars. I've seen them at youth camp filled with the passion and zeal and enthusiasm of God. I've seen what you've been, so involved, so sold out to Christ, so all out for Jesus. So when I say I am persuaded of better things, it's because I've seen what you have been. I've seen what you could do. I've seen how you have served the Lord Jesus. Amen. I am persuaded better things of you. But last of all, in that, there's something else to hear. Amen. You're thought highly of. You have already been so much. But there is that main thrust of that statement. Persuaded better things of you. You can be so much more. Amen. It's the enemy that will lie to you and tell you you're all that you're ever going to be. You can never be any better. You can never do any better. You can never live any closer to God. You can never have any more faith. You can never mature more in the Lord. You can never bear fruits. You can never make it. That's the enemy talking, or the inferiority of our inner hearts. I want to tell you, God says, the word says, you can be so much more. It isn't that going back has just taken you from what you once were. It's going back that keeps you from going on to become what you can become. Let me say that again. Amen. It's not that, amen, going back, amen, just keeps you from what you have been. Going back keeps you from being what God has in mind for you to be. Amen. You can do, you can be so much more. That's your potential, and that's God's plan. Amen. As I drove back from lunch today, I just heard in my heart this statement. I think I gave it to Brother Dearth. If all you ever want to be is what you want to be, you'll never be what you could be. If all you want to be is what you want to be, you'll never be all you can be. Oh, but if you'll want to be what God wants you to be. I said, if you'll want to be what God wants you to be, oh, you can be it. Hallelujah. I'm persuaded of better things of you. Amen. I've already mentioned several times, but the enemy of our soul has a design. Here's the point. Satan will always have you be far less than what you can be. Satan, his ever intention is that you always fall short of what God has for you. But I want to preach tonight, only in God can you be all that you can be. Only in God, only in serving Him, only in living for Him, only being sold out to God can you be all that He would have you to be. Satan wants you to be your worst self. Amen. God will help you and enable you to be your best self. If there's anything Satan desires, it's to keep us from being what we one time were in God, and keeping us from being what we can be tonight, and keeping us from going on to be what we can be. Oh, I like that better things. I don't have time to preach it, but if you read through the book of Hebrews and begin to circle it, that word better is everywhere. We have a better covenant. We have a better mediator. We have a better salvation. Everything we have in Christ is better. But then he uses that word better for us. It's not only is God better, Jesus is better, the sacrifice, but in God, if we're in God, there's better things in us. Oh, it's a better country. It's a a better city, all those betters. But he says, I am persuaded better things of you. Why? Amen. Because we got this great salvation. We have this wonderful experience. He's what makes it better. He's what allows it to be better. Oh, aren't you glad for grace? Are you glad for mercy? Hallelujah. We can be better. The world can give us no hope. But God can. Better in him. Better things. There is this thing today of doing as little as possible, doing as little as one must to be able to claim being a Christian. Amen. I wonder, why does God get so little anymore? Why does God get so little? Why do believers, why do they only care about so often doing the minimal? Amen. I hear the question so much, do I have to do that to be saved? Can't I not do this thing and still make it to heaven? When has it been the goal of a believer to barely get by and barely make it into heaven? Our goal ought to be everything that God wants us to be. Not just to get by, but I want to be what he wants me to be. Better things. I said better things. Better things of moms. Better things of dad. Better things of young people. Better things of all middle age. Better things of the seniors. I am persuaded of better things in you. Amen. Why not live the better Christian life? Why not worship the better way? Why not get into the Word a better depth? Amen. Why not live a better expression of the biblical principles? Why not live a better witness? Why not live a better testimony? Why not live a better way that expresses the clarity of what the grace of God has done? Amen. Oh, I want to serve Him. Amen. Part of that is the intent of our very distinctives of the people of God. Amen. I was talking to some new folks tonight and explaining about salvation is only the beginning of this. Then there's sanctification. God begins to work on us. Amen. We get saved. He saved us from the penalty of sin, the past of sin. But to be sanctified is when he saves us from the power of sin, those things that lead us into sin. He conforms us into the image of his Son. We mature and we grow. And many of our distinctions, it's not simply a matter of, is this a matter of heaven or hell or sin or not sin. We just want to live in a way that better shows that we love him, that better fulfills the principles of the word, that better reveals that we want to serve and love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. And so as a believer, I can have, and I'm going to put it simply, but I can have this philosophy. I want to live a just get by life. Just get by to live this life. Just get by, just so I can say I'm a believer. Or I can go a step further and I can say, you know, this Christian life, it's a good way to live. It's a good way to live. And I want to live it good. Or I can say, this Christian life, this way of living, it's a better way to live. I want to live this Christian experience even to its fullness. Hallelujah. I want to live it better. I want to say tonight with this writer, I am persuaded of better things of you. Amen. Some of you that are parents, amen, as your kids became teenagers and begin to feel their way and wrestle with things and maybe get caught up in some things and make some wrong decisions. Most of you parents have set those teenage kids down, not in anger, not because you dislike them, but you've set them down in love. And you said, look, amen, you're capable of so much more than this. Amen. I have hopes for much more than this. You've got more potential than this. Oh, aren't you glad God looks at us like that? He doesn't look at us like hopeless cases. He doesn't look like us like just a bunch of folks that can't do it, can't be it. I want you to know when God looks at us, he says, I am persuaded of better things of this than you. How many believes in this year as we continue in it and finish it out? Amen. We can live better for God. We can worship better. We can witness better. Amen. We can serve him better. We can love him better. Hallelujah. I want to be better for him. Could you come, music? Well, not only was I an aggravating student, but I was an aggravating teacher. And I remember both in high school and in college teaching Oh, I love making up tests. Oh, that's so much fun. You wouldn't agree to it, but I'd love just to give tests over the sermon. Some of you were in some of those classes. Remember those prayers before the test. But I remember it came the day to turn the test back to the students. And I said, now before I hand your test back, I want you to know something. When you get your test back today and you made a D, if in class you've paid attention, did your best to comprehend, if you've done your homework, if you studied for this test to the best of your ability, when you get your paper and it's got a D on it, I want you to sit really straight and I want you to feel pleased with yourself and I want you to know I'm proud of you. Great job. That's wonderful. You made that D. But I said, if you're capable of an A, and you get your test back today and you got a B+, and you weren't paying attention like you should pay attention, you didn't study like you should study, and you didn't do your, I want you to feel the conviction of God all over you that you've been such a slug and a sloth and you haven't lived up to your potential. You didn't do what you can do. We're all different places on this. We're all unique individuals with different abilities. But I'm telling you, if your heart is in this thing and you're serving God, amen, you may be having struggles. You may be fighting battles. You may be tripping and stumbling and feeling your way. But if your heart is in this and you're doing good job, wonderful, God sees that. God is with you. Amen. But if you're someone that can put on the appearances and you got it good, amen, but your heart's not really in it, you're not really trying, amen, your life's not, your passion's not into this, may God speak to you tonight and may you hear in your the ears of your soul, may you hear the voice of the Spirit say, I'm persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. We get saved, but there's better things that accompany the salvation. Oh, I want to live all out for Jesus. How many wants to live all out for Him? Hallelujah. I preach this morning, He's the all the way God. Amen. That's the way I want to serve Him, is all the way. Love Him all the way, worship all the way, please Him all the way. Amen. Amen. Could you stand across this building? Hallelujah. God, thank you for your people. Lord, I pray you would speak to some, maybe in the house tonight, maybe over the stream, maybe he will listen later. God, they don't have to be like those the writer warned us of that fall away. Taste of the good Holy Spirit, the good Word of God. Experience the power of the world to come. Fall away. They don't have to be that way. Because there's better things that God has for them. Lord, talk to us all over this building. Amen. Nobody's looking. I'm not even looking. But if you're here tonight, all over this building, you just say, Pastor, I'm taking that message to heart. Would you come and begin to fill this altar? Just say, Pastor, I'm taking that message. Better things for me. I'm taking it to heart. Would you begin to come and pray? Hallelujah. I'm taking it to heart. There's better things. Better things. Better things. Better things for you. I want to live for God all out. I want to serve Him all out. I want to please Him all the way. Oh, better things. I'm persuaded better things of you. Oh, better things. Listen, every time the enemy will bring out the worst in you, God brings out the best in you. Serving self, serving the world brings out the worst. Serving Jesus will bring out the best. Amen. Hear me again as you pray. If all you want to be is what you want to be, you'll never be what you could be. If all you want to be is what you want to be, you'll never be what you could be. Oh, but if you'll be what God wants you to be. I want to be what He wants me to be. I want to worship like He wants me to worship. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to serve Him the way He wants me to serve Him. Amen. I want to give my life, my heart. Amen. I want to experience the sweet Holy Ghost.
The way that Jesus wants me to live.
I want to live the way Jesus wants me to live. Don't back up, push forward. Don't follow backwards. Get a grip, go forward, go forward. Hallelujah. Better things.